verses in Jude that that go from verse 17 through 19. It says here, "But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves sensual, having not the Spirit." That's the group of verses we've been talking on. Last week, we talked on the association of the believers that Jude wrote to with which apostles, apostles that they were under, the apostles that they were to remember the words of. And we made a distinction the last 2 weeks between that apostleship having to do with the body of Christ and that apostleship having to do with Israel, and how it's important to make that distinction when we study the Word of God. The fact is that we are not in every verse of the Scripture. There is a doctrinal, dispensational way to look at the Bible that is directly related to our, you know, what is to us, what we are under. And so when we look at the Scripture, we have to understand what these things about the, when it's talking to a group of people or about a group of people, what is the context in which that group of people is mentioned. So we saw that with the apostles, but we're going to backtrack in the verse sometime, and we're going to talk about the association with them being the beloved. We're going to talk about the association with the people in Jude being the beloved, and possibly next week we will look into that same association with the body of Christ. Now, again, we do this in understanding the letter Jude, which is part of that last grouping of letters, that last nine grouping of letters, Hebrews through Revelation. And Jude is a letter about, like it says in verse 3, it's a letter written to the saints. And look, notice in verse 3, he calls them the beloved. He said, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." Now, in respect of what the context of the letter is, it is a letter of exhortation to the saints that they should earnestly contend for the faith. The letter after this shows the context in which they are to be to keep steadfast in that faith. It will be a time of tribulation. So the next letter you go into is Revelation, showing the things that they will be pitted against, and why it's so important that they recognize in that future dispensational will, why it's so important that in the tribulation they recognize apostasy and apostate behavior of those in the group who would promote themselves, as did these certain men, like it says in verse 4. "For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, those certain men had crept into that group of kingdom saints. And this letter of exhortation for them to earnestly contend for the faith had to do with recognizing that apostasy, recognizing that which could have an influence on them to turn them away from that tribulational will of God, that kingdom will of God. And such a letter of Jude will be important again when the saints of Israel will be in the time of Jacob's trouble during the great tribulation. And this circumstance that happened back in the first century when this letter was written will happen again in the future under a much more intense and cataclysmic circumstances. It'll be that great tribulation, that temptation that should come upon the whole world, as it says in Revelation chapter 3. So in understanding what happened, this doctrine was written to the kingdom saints of Israel. And because the nation rejected that ministry of the Holy Ghost, God diminished that plan and set it aside for the future tribulation. God is now administrating what is called the dispensation of the grace of God given Paul for Gentiles. So because of that, this doctrine of Jude, after the saints of the kingdom were that whole plan was diminished and set aside, God brought in the mystery, and then after we are caught up in the air, after this dispensation of grace is over, will come the great tribulation on the earth. That is after we are caught up in the air. The believers who believe that Christ died for their sins, was buried and risen again, will be subject to the rapture, where we'll be saved from wrath through him. And we'll be caught up away from this earth, and God will send wrath on this earth, as he says in Revelation. Then it'll be back to Israel's program during that time of tribulation. Thus, the letters Hebrews through Revelation will continue from where that situation was not accepted back in Acts. It was not accepted by the nation. It'll continue in tribulation, which the nation is subject to. So I hope that kind of explains the background of Jude and the letter. But this point about them being the beloved has that context also. The people to whom Jude wrote were the beloved of the Lord. Again, but we must understand the fact that they were of a different inheritance than we who are of the body of Christ. They were of the nation Israel, of God's kingdom prophetic purpose. They were saints of the kingdom plan that was prophesied to Israel. So we have to understand their context of being saints. And when that tribulation comes up, it will concern them. Like Revelation 13 verse 7 says, Revelation 13, verse 7, and it was given about the Antichrist. In Revelation 13, verse 7, it says, and it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. Even in that verse, there's a distinction made between making war with the saints, the Antichrist making war with the saints, and all the nations being under the Antichrist. The Gentile nations, power was given to the Antichrist over all kindreds, tongues, and nations. So there's a distinction made there between the saints, which will be of Israel, and the other nations under the Antichrist. That will be the situation in the tribulation. Okay? Now, we are saints of the body of Christ. Ephesians chapter 1:1. Paul talks to some Ephesian Gentiles. And look what he says to them in Ephesians 1:1. Paul is talking to Ephesian Gentiles in Ephesus. And notice the association here is they're of the nations. Paul says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. They were the saints and faithful in Christ Jesus, Gentiles in Ephesus. There's a difference. There's not a distinction made there between the nations and saints. The saints, people of the nations are saints in what Paul wrote, which is to us, the body of Christ. So we see that context. There's a context for the word saints. There are saints of Israel and saints of the body. And there were also, there's a context of servitude, servants. See, they were like Peter was the head of the 12. Now, when you get through Hebrews and Revelation, we see the letter Peter wrote to the saints of Israel. And look what he says in 1 Peter. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 Peter chapter 2. Wait a minute, just a second. I'm sorry. Just a second here. Here we go. Let me see here. My reference here, I got the wrong reference here. Let me see. Just a second, please. Oh, here we go. Chapter 2. I lost my reference here. I'm sorry, folks. I had a reference here, but I put the wrong one down. I hate when that happens. Okay, but they were saints of the kingdom, of the kingdom plan, and there are scripture related to that in the Bible. I was looking for the one I had, but I have the wrong reference there, so I'll just go on. They were saints of that kingdom plan. They were servants of that kingdom plan. That's 2 Peter chapter, that's 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse, it was the one, let's see, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 16. Peter says, to those of Israel's purpose and kingdom, he says, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. They were the servants of God in that plan of the kingdom. The group that Peter spoke to, which were the Jews under the kingdom prophetic plan to Christ, were the servants of that particular dispensational purpose. Now that God is dealing with the Gentiles through the message given Paul, we are also saints. We're also servants. We are servants as related to the body of Christ. Let's go to Romans chapter 6, verse 22. And notice, we're going to a letter that is written to Romans. The very first letter Paul wrote is to Romans. That's different than what is of that kingdom purpose to the Hebrews. He's written to Romans, the Gentiles of that time, and such is to us in this dispensation of the grace of God. Romans chapter 6. Let's go to Romans chapter 6. And we're of God's mystery program, a program that he revealed to Paul for about Gentiles being saved without going through a favored nation, without anything but the blood of Christ, trusting anything but the blood of Christ. Romans 6:22, Paul says here, but now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. We are servants of the body of Christ. There's a distinction made. They are the, now remember Peter was, Peter had the gospel to the circumcision. Galatians chapter 2 verse 7. And Paul had the gospel of the uncircumcision. Peter led the 12, and those people of that ministry were servants of the kingdom prophetic plan, and Paul, under people who are today under the program, which God is presently dealing with, the program of salvation by grace through faith, are servants according to the purpose in the body of Christ. So there's a different context of these things. And so about that elect, that the point about the elect, they were the elect of the kingdom purpose to Israel. Those of the purpose in Israel's kingdom prophetic plan were the elect according to that kingdom purpose. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1. Now the reason we are looking at these to show you there's a context under which people are servants, under which people are the elect, under which people are saints, and that it goes with the two programs that God's Bible shows. The present one is salvation to the Gentiles through the gospel of Christ. Okay, but Peter and the group there, they notice here in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Now, these people Peter wrote to are strangers to those Gentile nations. Now, notice that these Gentile nations, Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, they are strangers in those Gentile nations. So, of course, Peter wrote to the scattered people of the God's kingdom to Israel, who are strangers in these Gentile nations. So that's a context of Peter writing to the saints of Israel, to the elect of Israel, and their context is through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of blood of Jesus Christ. The way that is said has to do with the purpose of God toward Israel and cross work as it relates to the administration to Israel. They were under an administration where they had to show their faith by works, and they would get the blessedness in the future when God brings the kingdom for them that he promised in the Testament, when he brings that on earth. The way this very thing is said, we see here that they were elect according to that purpose in God that had to do with the kingdom. We are, again, the elect of the body of Christ. Colossians. The Colossians are Gentiles, of course. And Paul, writing, who's given this God's will for the Gentiles, writes in Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. We are the elect according to the body. First go to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. We are the elect according to God's plan for the body. Ephesians chapter 4. Excuse me, Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Let's read verses 1 through 5. Excuse me, of chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. Chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. Paul talking to Ephesian Gentiles. He says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. We, he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. It's in Christ. It, Christ is the one before the foundation of the world. The whole purpose in God for the Gentiles was before the foundation of the world. And it was kept secret since the world began, Romans 16:25. It was a plan that was, the plan of the mystery that was revealed to Paul is a plan in which people are in Christ, and this plan in Christ was before the foundation of the world. And the body members are chosen in him. Again, that is by believing of the gospel. Since it's in Christ, one has to believe that Jesus Christ died for their sins, was buried and risen again, and that alone. No works are required in this glorious plan of the mystery of the dispensation of grace. Just believing that Jesus Christ died for our sins and is risen, and from that, one is chosen in him before the foundation of the world. Christ, again, is the one. The plan is in Christ, and that plan of the mystery, dispensation of grace, is in Christ, and it was before the foundation of the world. I hope that's understandable. But as you see, there's a context for election, and it, that we are the elect of the body. Colossians chapter 3. We are the elect of the body of Christ. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Unction to the members of the body. Let's go to let's just get a little context. We'll go to verse 9. Not, lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. We are the elect according to God's plan, where there's no difference between Jew or Gentile. That's what God is doing now. He's saving, he's creating a body, not a favored nation. He set that plan aside till after the rapture of the church, and after we are raptured, then he will go back and deal with all the promises he made with Israel in the great tribulation that comes upon this earth. And they will get their kingdom under that plan. But presently, God is dealing with a body where there's neither Greek nor Jew. There's no difference between anybody, no favorite nation. We're not under the law, but under grace, Paul tells us in Romans chapter 6, verse 14. We are under that which is to the body of Christ. And, of course, our brother put up a very nice verse there in verse 13, an extra, a very nice verse, forgiving one, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have any quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. We are forgiven. Christ forgave us. We are completely those who've trusted that he died for our sins and is risen, and that alone, we have complete forgiveness of the Lord. It's by grace. It's a free gift by the grace of God. We're under that administration. We're elect according to the things related to the body, that plan before the foundation of the world. So there's that context. So I hope by these scriptures you see that there is a context for being saints, servants, the elect, sons of God. There are two purposes of God. There's his earthly purpose, which is a prophecy to Israel, which he will continue after we are caught up. It's not going on now. The nation rejected it back in the first century. We see that in the book of Acts. So God set that plan aside and brought out what he's presently doing based on what he gave to Paul. He's saving Gentiles through the shed blood of Jesus, and that alone, by believing that Jesus died for their sins, was buried and risen again. And any Jew who wants to get saved has to believe like the Gentiles do. And of course, we know that Paul himself and several others, and there are Jews who have accepted the grace of God in Christ and are put into God's present purpose of a body, not a favorite nation, but a body saved by grace. And so that's what God is doing. And of course, we see there's a context, a doctrinal context for these things, as there is a context for being the beloved of the Lord. Now, when I was looking at these things and looking them up, what was really wondrous to me, and it continues, you know, to be wondrously amazing to me, is the clarity of God's Word and giving you roadmaps of right division. You know what I mean? It's like you can look into the Word and it shows you the context under which he is speaking to people. We have to obey the contextual rules to find out the who, what, when, where, and why. Because God in his Word is not talking to us in everything he says. There is that which is to Israel that has to do with the prophetic plan to Israel, which is not doctrinally to us. And there is that which has to do with the body of Christ in God's present dispensation of grace. And that is directly to us. Most of the Bible is to, for, and about God's plan to Israel. Out of those 66 books of the Bible, there are 13 letters written by an apostle called the Apostle of the Gentiles, in which he tells about something never before revealed, a mystery dispensation of grace for Gentiles. And he gives us all that was revealed to him to fulfill God's Word by showing what God is presently doing with the mystery. That is to us the 13 letters that are written by the Apostle Paul. So when we look at Paul speaking of beloved, it's a different context from which Jude speaks of the beloved. Again, Jude is to the 12 tribes in the time of tribulation, the 12 Hebrew tribes in a time of tribulation. Those letters are for the future on this earth when there will be no dispensation of grace. There will be tribulation and wrath unlike any other, and the saints of God will be those of the nation Israel. That's when that letter Jude will have its doctrinal perspective. It will be for the saints of Israel to earnestly contend for the faith in the face of great temptation not to contend for the faith. Okay, I hope that's understandable. But that's the context of Jude. Those saints he wrote to will be like the saints of Israel in the tribulation. And that doctrinal letter will be for that time. So let's look at, see these things, like you say, you look at the, like I was talking about, you look at the Bible, it'll give you that context of them being the beloved. It'll give you that context, and it was wondrous to me to see that, you know, and anyone can see that, it's just that we need, you know, those who rightly divide and are grounded and settled in where they are in Scripture, we are more prone to see the wonder of God's Word in this King James Bible, how it contextually shows that. So let's look at a few things here. again, we shall look at some scriptures that show the context in which those to whom Jude wrote are the beloved of God in the kingdom prophetic program. Now, the context of the beloved, Jude is part of Hebrews through Revelation. Those last nine writings, it is one of the books in that chain link of tribulation, future tribulation doctrine to Israel. So, throughout Hebrews through Revelation, we can see this God calling these saints the beloved. And we can see under the, we can get the roadmaps, the dispensational doctrinal roadmaps of that. First, let's look at the book of Hebrews. Now, let's go to Hebrews chapter 6. Again, this is a letter to the Hebrews, the first letter of the doctrine of the tribulation. It explains the crosswork in the context of the tribulation, I mean the Hebrew kingdom program. Just like Romans is the introduction to the dispensation of grace program, Hebrews, the letter Hebrews, is the introduction to the tribulation kingdom program of the cross. So let's look at chapter 6. Chapter 6 of Hebrews, verses 9 through 15. But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you, and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have shewed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints, and do minister. And we desire that every one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made promises to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. The example there is of patient endurance, and it is of enduring to the end, enduring that great tribulation unto the end. And the example is of the Abrahamic blessing. It's inheriting the promise, as we see. It's inheriting that promise and having to do with the Abrahamic blessing as an example. These are roadmaps to tell you under which context they are the beloved. Of course, the Abrahamic promise was that in Abraham and his seed should all the nations of the earth be blessed. So that context of them being beloved and the example to them of the Abrahamic blessing is to endure with patience that great tribulation. So we see that context having to do with the kingdom perspective, at that kingdom perspective to the Hebrews. And we can also see that, let's go to James. Go to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verses 16 through 19. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. But I'll just stop right there. So we see here. See, now, like we saw in Hebrews 9:15, they were to inherit the Abrahamic promises. They had the Abrahamic blessing. We know that we, in this dispensation of grace, Paul talks to Gentiles in Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 1:3 and tells them that we have all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. So here we go down to James and see the difference here. Now James talks about how they will be a kind of first fruits, a beloved that is a kind of first fruits. And my perspective on that is Israel got that promise of the resurrection, which was all the way told about in prophecy. You can read about it in Job even. And so they, you know, that plan to Israel, they were that Christ gave them, but they would be a kind of first fruits. They would get the resurrection at what would be called the second coming of Christ in the kingdom. They'll be resurrected unto that kingdom purpose. Let's go to Revelation chapter 20 to see the context of them being a kind of first fruits. Revelation chapter 20. And it says here, when Christ is about the kingdom, verse 4, Revelation 20, verse 4, after Satan is bound 1,000 years, cast into the bottomless pit, we see in verse 4, and I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. So that point about them being resurrected, those of Israel, like those, you want to know what happened to those saints in Acts? When God set that whole program aside, what happened to them? They will be resurrected unto that kingdom, just like God promised them. And they will be subject to that kingdom resurrection on this earth that God promised them. So God set that plan aside. They died in that hope, and God set that plan aside and brought in the salvation to the Gentiles in his present plan. And after we are caught up, the tribulation, and in the kingdom, they'll be resurrected unto their purpose. They are a kind of first fruits unto that. That's their context of being the beloved. But we are the beloved that belong to the body. We are of a resurrection not told of before in Scripture. We're of a resurrection that has to do with a mystery. Christ is the first fruits of them that slept, as 1 Corinthians 15:20 says. But in 1 Corinthians 15:20, we learn of a marvelous, in 1 Corinthians 15, we learn of a marvelous mystery, which we are subject to, the resurrection, which was untold, a mystery revealed. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we see that we are subject to something different than the beloved of Israel. We are subject to that which before the tribulation, when the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Where is our association? We are going to be caught up. God doesn't come to the earth to get us. He descends from heaven, and we are caught up to him in the clouds to meet him, as 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 says. So you see, there is a context of the resurrection for the body of Christ, to be resurrected unto the rapture. Israel unto their kingdom, the body of Christ unto the rapture. A mystery dispensation, a mystery resurrection of the dead for the saints of the body of Christ. That which is to Israel is of prophecy known. That which is to us is given to Paul to reveal. A mystery given Paul to reveal. Okay, so we see the context of them being beloved in James. Let's go to Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. I hope you're getting abreast of this. What I'm trying to show here is that the Bible shows a context for people being for their being saints. There are two programs of God. The mystery program, which he is revealed to Paul, which he's presently carrying out, and the prophetic plan, known from back in the Old Testament to Israel. And there are saints of both ones, both programs, and there are different contexts. We are the beloved of the body. Those of Israel are the beloved of the nation Israel's prophetic plan. So I hope you're getting to see these differences and how these scriptures from Hebrews through Revelation show a context for them being the beloved. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. Peter says, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation." Now, notice here that Peter calls them dearly beloved. They are the dearly beloved of the God. Now, Peter meant that Paul gives us a clear picture of Peter's ministry. Paul says, when they saw that Peter had the gospel of the circumcision, and Paul had the gospel of the uncircumcision. Different program. That's in Galatians 2, verse 7. And so we see here that Peter calls them, who he spoke to, of the circumcision, dearly beloved. And notice he beseeches them as strangers and pilgrims. He beseeches them as strangers and pilgrims. Remember what we saw in verse 1? They were strangers in those Gentile lands, Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. They were strangers in those Gentile lands. And notice in verse 12, more proof of that. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles. Strangers and pilgrims among the Gentiles. So we get a context that this is to Israel. They were the beloved of Israel, and their context was not being Gentiles. And this letter is specific to a specific people. And we can also see that. Let's go see, let's look at 3 John chapter 1. Let's look at 3 John chapter 1, and let's look at verses 5 through 7. 3 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. The same context. Remember, in Galatians chapter 2, verse 9, Paul says, "And when they perceive that," Paul says, "they perceive when James, Cephas, and John," Cephas is Peter, "James, Cephas, and John perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to Paul, me and Barnabas, the right hand of fellowship, that we, Paul and Barnabas, should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision." So they rightly divided. Peter, James, and John were to the circumcision. Now notice here in 3 John, verses 5 through 7. Beloved, he calls them the beloved, but notice the context. "Thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well, because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. John's group was lauded for taking nothing of the Gentiles. So we see here that their message is not to the Gentiles. By these things, Peter and John says, the chief pillars, Paul calls them in Galatians chapter 2:9, who went to the circumcision. So we see that their association is to Israel, not to Gentiles. But as we can see that what God is saying to us, we are of God's blessedness to the Gentiles, as Paul tells us in the letters he wrote. We are of God's blessedness to the Gentiles. Remember we read Ephesians 1, verse 3. Blessed, he talks to these Ephesian Gentiles who before had nothing in God, now made saints through this program given Paul to the Gentiles, that Gentiles can be saved by the blood of Christ by trusting that his blood, that he died for our sins, was buried and risen again. The gospel given Paul to preach related to what God is presently doing. Not just that he died on the cross, was buried and risen to sit on David's throne, that's Israel's program. The fact to us in this program of the body of Christ, the dispensation of grace, is that when he died for our sins. Do you believe that? If you have to take it personally by the fact that the gospel given Paul says he died for our sins. Did he die for your sins? If you believe that Christ died for your sins and that alone, and that he was buried, that he died for our sins, was buried and risen again, and that alone for salvation, then you are a member of God's present body of Christ. You have God's spiritual blessedness to Gentiles, which like Ephesians says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, and amen, as Bible reader says, the gospel of Christ in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. Verse 1, Paul says, I declare unto you the gospel, verse 2, by which you are saved, verse 3 and 4, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Believe that? It's the gospel of the grace of God to Gentiles in God's present program. We are of that blessedness. Again, those who are the beloved to whom Peter, James, and John, and Jude wrote to, those are the beloved of the kingdom program. And there was a difference. And like Paul tells us, see, like when we go back to Peter, beloved, having their conversation, they were strangers and pilgrims in Gentile lands, having their conversation honest among the Gentiles. Notice what Paul says in Ephesians 3. Paul says in Ephesians 3 about God's present blessedness to the Gentiles. Ephesians chapter 3. It says here, for this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you all, God's blessedness to the Gentiles through a dispensation of his grace, given to Paul, so that he can put it in God's word. Verse 3, this proves it. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery as I wrote afore in few words. Verse 4, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. God revealed a mystery to Paul about grace to the Gentiles. He wrote it down. And if you want to know what that mystery is that God revealed about what he's presently doing for the Gentiles, you have to read it from Paul's writing. Paul was given it by revelation. It was given to Paul. verse 5, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. In other ages, not made known. Presently, made known. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Not by blessing Israel, not by keeping commandments, not by doing works, not by anything you can appropriate under God's last plan with Israel, or plan with Israel. Not by any of that, but by the gospel. The gospel, not by anything else, but by the gospel, the good news. You put into God's present plan and made a partaker of his promise in Christ by believing that gospel, that Christ died for your sins and is risen. See, God is not imputing sin at this time. God is before he sends his wrath on this earth, he is creating a body to be caught up away from this earth, a body saved by grace in spite of ourselves, in spite of our deserved. We all mankind deserve hell, fire, and damnation. Those who trust that Jesus Christ died for their sins, who was buried and risen again, are saved from that in God's present dispensational purpose by the gospel. So I'm going to have to stop. I have some more scriptures, quite a few more I want to talk about this context of the beloved, and then we'll get into the body, beloved. I might do that. It might take me 3 weeks, or two more weeks now. I have some more scriptures about this, and then I'll have some more scriptures about the body and beloved of the body. But we're going to continue next week on this comparison of the context of Israel being the beloved of the Lord, and how that's different from us, the body of Christ. Remember, folks, the only way to study the Bible is to pay attention to the contextual rules of it. God shows you the roadmaps to who, what, when, where, and why in Scripture. Therefore, it is given Paul, since God has given Paul a different program, it is given Paul to tell us of God, 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Grace and peace to all of you here, and I hope that if anyone is in here who hasn't trusted that Christ died for their sins, was buried and risen again, just throw off all the things that you've done. Throw that out. That won't save you. None of that will save you. And just trust that Jesus Christ did all the work necessary to save your soul when he died a criminal's death that was your payment for sin, and he rose in victory over your judgment at Calvary's cross as your Savior. That's all you have to believe. It's personal. Do you believe that Christ died for your sins, was buried and risen again? If you don't, just trust him. And God will put you in his purpose and make you a partaker of his promise in Christ. Next week, folks, tomorrow there'll be the Grace School of the Bible.